Okay, so as you continue on Daf Gimel Amud Beis in Avodah Zarah, so I think it was time. I think it's time to take a break for a minute from allegory, because we've talked a lot about the hardest to understand agadatas, which are the ones which are deep theological. Yes, thank you. Which are deep theological allegories. But remember Avraham and Rambam that we saw at the beginning of the year. A lot of agadata doesn't work that way, right? Not every agadata do you need to look at and say, oh my God, that is some deep allegory about the nature of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Like, not every agadata. There's all types of other agadatas that are very valuable, such as
halacha deriving agadatas.
Great. What else?
Morals.
What else? What does he say a lot of agadata is?
Some
inspiration, values, right? Meaning, part of agadata just saying things that are like,
Nice,
right? That are right, that are going to inspire you to do the right thing. So there's one of those on the Gemara here on Gimel Amud Beis that is repeated like 10 times throughout Shas in different ways. In sometimes, again, how do we inspire people? Sometimes with pithy statements, aphorisms as we call them in English. Right. Sometimes with stories, sometimes with mishalim. Now, the idea that we're going to explore, right, is one of those, which the Gemara comes back to time and time again, never in some deep, like not in like some deep theological way that should bother you. But it's important to remember that agadata works this way also, but also to remember that these inspirational ideas are also, first of all, they're not as simple as they look. There is a depth to them. And that even those inspirational ideas, if you want to fully understand Chazal's vision, you need to go throughout Shas, especially ideas that come back to over and over again, where they each time they give a slightly different angle. Now, yes, I put some makaros here that are not classic Torah sources to show you that sometimes the ideas that Chazal are deriving are also right intuitive, meaning just right. Sometimes things are, as someone in my community likes saying, right? If something is truth, then you should expect it to appear in multiple places, right? By definition. Right? By definition. Right? So it shouldn't shock you if it appears in Torah and not Torah. Okay? So the issue that I want to talk about is the issue of learning Torah at night. So the Gemara on Gimel Beis says, Am Reish Lakish, Kal Osik B'Torah B'Layla, Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshech Alav Chut Shel Chesed B'Yom. Anyone learns Torah at night, God puts some grace on you during the day. Sh'namar Yomam Yisav Hashem Chasdo V'Layla Shiro Imo. Ma Tam Yomam Yisav Hashem Chasdo. Why does God command his grace to you during the day? Because at night his song was with you. And Ikadamri, some people read this not as day and night, but as what? Sorry, Imi.
So with who?
Right, with me, right? Meaning I had God's song, so God is with me, right? I had his song, so he's
talking in the blessing.
Why does God command his chesed? Because at night, his song, God's, right, the guy's talking, at night, his song was with me.
Is it in
Salem?
It's in
Salem,
yeah.
Okay. Alternatively, now this is classic metaphor, right? This is classic, not like deep theological metaphor, this is classic chazal, right? Symbolism, really, not metaphor, right? Anyone who learns Torah in this world, which is dome lelaila, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshech Lav Chut Shel Chesed V'Olam Haba Hadom L'Yom Shenem Yom Mitzav Hashem Chasdo V'Gomer. Now, even though, like I said, this basic notion that you should learn Torah at night, like, I don't think anyone has, like, this is not like God's, you know, daily schedule. No one's, like, having theological pangs, like, oh my God, what is going on here, right? There still is a depth to it, because let's be very careful, and the Rav is going to pick up on this, right? What does the Gemara call Limud at night in this Gemara?
Shira.
Shira. Right? Shira, which is a bit weird, because Shira is normally reserved for?
Song
or? Tefillah. Right? Shevach Lahuda. Right? So, yes, at first glance, this is very easy. Okay, you should learn Torah at night, and if you do, God will reward you during the day. But the truth is, there's a depth here that the Gemara is not spelling out, because it's hinting at something bigger, which is that Torah at night is
Shira,
is Tefillah as well. And that's something we're going to have to play with. But let's, before we analyze it, let me just show you how many times Chazal talk about this, right? So look at number two. This is Gemara in Tamid. Taner B'chia, Kol Osik B'Torah B'Layla, Shechina Kenegdo. Anyone who learns Torah at night, the Shechina itself is in front of you, whatever that means. Shenemar Kumi Roni Balayla Larosh Hashmar Shivchi Kamaim Libech Nochach Lefnei Hashem. Now, what is weird about the pasuk it quotes? Right, first glance, big deal. So God is in front of you. Okay, I mean, that's nice. God is with you when you learn Torah. And we all understand that's not literal. But what's weird about the pasuk in quotes? Again.
It's to Rosh Hashmaros.
And it is?
Tefillah.
Roni Balayla, sing at night, which means you have two Gemaras, which both focus on Torah being?
Shira.
Shira, being song, being? Tefillah. Right, and the Marsha notes on that Gemara in Tamid, Dirinas Tefillah Kavua Leka Balayla Lushrot Ashmoret. Right? Why? Because he says, when is it specific? It's the middle of the night where there isn't actual tefillah. And therefore Torah takes its place, right? So he's very medayik, right? Meaning, again, this is one of those things. Even agadotas, which are not deep and theological, you can pick up certain yukumajit picks up. Why is it saying that? Because it's at the second half of the night when there's no chiyuv tefillah. So the only potential tefillah. He said, how did Chazal know that must be Torah? Right?
Right.
Because there's no tefillah. There's Raji, Echa Ilurina, Shal Torah, Kamar, Kmok, etc. Etc. And then he says, he said, this is connected to yet a third Gemara. Continue on, right, to the next source, a Gemara in Erevin. Amar of Yehuda, lo ibra leila ela l'shenasa. Rabbi Yehuda says, the night is only for sleeping. Rishim ben Lakish, lo ibri sihara ela l'girsa. And he says, nice try. It is only for Torah. Right, it is for Torah. So Amar le Rabbi Zera. He said to Rabbi Zera, your Torah is sharp. He said, because my Torah is from the day. He said, don't you have to sleep a little? He said, look, you know how I work it out, how I sleep at night, and I still learn Torah at night, and still clear? The long nights, right? I can get some sleep in, I get some Torah in, right? But what does the Gemara tell you, right? Everything is, right? The night is for learning, but also for sleeping. We've got to figure out exactly the balance there. Right, number five, Amar Yirmiyah, this Gemara, Neirvin, again, Yudches. Amar Yirmiyah ben Elazar, Kol Baish Nishman B'Divrei Torah B'Layla, any house where you learn Torah at night, Shuv Eino Nechrav, will never be destroyed. And again, what strikes you as strange about that? Again, for the fourth time. Third time.
Zmiros.
Zmiros Balayla. It's compared to Shira. Right? Guess what? We're going to get it again. Gemara in Menachos, number six. Shira Malos. Hine Baruchu Hashem is called Avdei Hashem Ha'ovnim Veiz Hashem Balaylos. Right? A song of ascents. God blesses all those who are in the house of God at night. My Balaylos. Amar Biochanan. Elu Tami Decham Oskim Ador Balayla. Those are the people who learn at night. Malo Vakazim Kilo Asukim Bavoda. As if they're involved in Avoda. So now we compare it not to Tefillah, but to Avoda. The problem is, what is Avoda?
Tefillah.
Very good. Right? Avoda itself is equated with Tefillah, right? Tefillah and Karbon are interchangeable. That's, and now yet another time in number seven, now this time in story form. V'David b'palga d'leva havekoi, me'ud havekoi. D'chsev kadamti b'neshev v'ashaveo, ma'idaneshev urtu. So Gemara is talking about David HaMelech, is he at night, awake at night during the day? So skip to the next line. Amar of Oshia, Amar of Acha, Hachik Amar David, Me'olam lo'avar le'chatzos laila b'sheina. I never had half the night sleeping. Midnight never came, I was still sleeping. V'zeim Amar ad chatzos, laila misnam named Kesus. David's schedule was that until chatzos, he would sort of doze off like a horse. They sleep like standing up or something like that. I'm not exactly sure what it is. Mikan ve'elecham is gaber b'kari, and then he would get up like a lion. And Ravashi Amar al chatzos laila yosik b'divei Torah. Mikan ve'elech b'shiras v'tishbachos. And now you have a different cheshbon. Half the night he learned, half the night he learned. Right? Half he learned, half he sang. Fine. So now what do you have? You have four gemaras that say, right, either that you get special hatzalah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or God is special relationship with God, right, Shechina Kenegdecha, or God is Moshe Chodshal Chesed if you learn at night, and every one of them either compares it to Tefillah, Avoda, or in the case of David, Talmud Torah was the Hachana for Shira, right? He learned half the night so that he could, right, because he could sing Tefillos the second half of the night. So, again, there's nothing here that should particularly bothered you theologically, But if you want to analyze Chazal, you have to read them carefully, and then you have to ask the question. Okay, two questions. One, what is it about night? Right? What is it about night? One second. And two is, I understand that learning Torah at night is special, but what is this obsession with it being like
Tefillah?
Well, what are they getting at? Right? Meaning, again, like I said, the same notion that you have to delve into what Chazal are saying. Right? That's true whether the surface value is heretical, in the case of God having a schedule where he plays 3 hours a day, right? Or if the surface shot is nice and inspirational. That doesn't mean there isn't a level, right? So I decided to take something which is mamish, not theological, just spiritual and inspirational and whatever. But still, you look at it, and there is something there. Okay, good. So, why night? So first of all, why night? Okay? So it's clear that one thing that emerges is that there's something unique about night. Which Gemara tells you most explicitly that there's something special about Limud Torah at night? Which of these, if you had to pick, right? Which one is the most clear that there's something unique about it?
First one.
Nah, I wouldn't take the first one. I would have taken the Gemara in Erev and Samachay. That the right night was created for Talmud Torah. Right, that should be a right. Now you see this as well. Number 8, the Mishnah on Pirkei Avos says, Rabbi Chanina ben Chachinai Omer Haner Balayla V'Mahalech B'Derech Yechidi V'Mahan Mefana Liba Levatala Reitem Eschayev Benafsho. If you're awake at night, or you're walking alone on the path, or you turn your heart Levatala, right, to waste time or whatever, you are liable for your own death. It's like suicide. Right, and the Sfas Emes writes here. Why? He says, Yesh lomer the rock belaila kabdina navatala, the hollow every laila ella olishinasa ligirza. But once the Gemara tells you, night is for two things, either learning or sleeping. If you spend night doing anything else, that's particularly egregious, right? I mean, there's something clear here that Chazal are.
Are we supposed to say it's like literally, like hyperliterally?
So, well, let's see how we're going to take it, right? Let's see. Okay. Now, what does it mean? Let's go through it. So what does it mean that Moshe chud shel chesed? Or chud shel chesed, what does that mean? God puts a chud shel chesed on your face, right? Like, what is that? Is that literal? Marsha says, yeah, it's very literal. Marsha is, well, we're up to 10.
What does chud mean?
What chud is a string. He wraps you in a string of grace. What does that mean? So tell me, no big lumdos. What does that mean? I think the Marsha is shot here.
I would just say it means it. God, like, there's more positivity. God shows more positivity towards you during the day.
So it could be. But the Marsha gives something which I think even more balabatish, down to earth. And he says, very simple. The average person, what happens if he stays up all night?
He's tired.
He's a curmudgeon. He's grumpy because he's tired. Right? What is the Gemara telling you? That if you're tired, but you spend the night doing valuable things, God will help you counteract the grumpiness that would make what? What normally happens? When is all up all night? How did their interaction with other people go?
Not well.
Badly. Marshall says, he said the average person, he doesn't sleep all night, right? He's grumpy in the morning. So what does the Gemara say? So he's saying, what is God saying? He won't. Right, you won't be all grumpy in the morning. Okay, right, meaning, right, what is the Gemara getting at? It's saying, look, in a Hanami, the average person without sleep is grumpy. But if you're doing something valuable, again, how does this happen? Is it a nace? Is it a matana? Or is it just a description, you know? Look, the average person, if he's up all night, he's grumpy in the morning. The average person, he spent all night learning, which is supposed to refine you as a person. Right, I mean, again, you could just say that at a very rational level. You spend all night, right, involved in things that are supposed to perfect you, right? It would be really counterproductive if you wake up, right? You spend all night learning Torah, and then you come to base medrash and yell at everybody all day because you're grumpy, right? Meaning, if you're really osik b'Torah, right, then it will counteract the natural grumpiness that comes from being tired, right? I mean, that's a very, I think, sort of, you know, rational way of taking it. Now, Marami Sade, the Nitziv, in number 11, says maybe not. He picks up on a diuk in the Gemara. And the Gemara says, right, what does the Gemara connect tefillah to every single time? Sorry, I'm getting away there. Right, Torah at night, tefillah. So he says maybe it doesn't mean that there'll be, this is right, the Marsha is building on Rashi, that nosin chesed is nosin cheno bein abrius, the people will like you. Right? But he says maybe it is the safely to come as far as mao chesed, tefila lelokim chayai. Okay, chayai, shemiskabel tefila. So maybe it means that God will listen to your tefila. And he says, how do I get this notion? How do I know that God will listen to my tefila? Where's the raya? Because every single one of these Gemaras connected to tefila. Right? And he's saying this is not like a, right, again, he hasn't given a svari, just proved that the Gemara talks about this every single time. But give me a svara for it. So Meshul Chachma says, maybe this is really metaphorical. Maybe it's not night at all. What is night a metaphor for? It's not like a... What? So it could be that. But he thinks, right, it's a very simple metaphor. It's for when people don't know. Right? Meaning, when you learn by the day, people say, oh, such a masmid. In the middle of the night, right? Nobody knows you're learning, right? You're learning in your room, right? You're learning at your home, middle of the night. You're doing it because it's the right thing to do. And there's a special, right, schus to someone who does it, not for honor, right? I mean, again, this is not, right, high lumdus here, right? There's not deep philosophy, but he's saying, in addition, right, he said, why might it be that God likes you if you learn at night? Because when you carve out time when nobody knows and no one else is watching, it's lishma. Right? He says, "Meshul Chachma Odi Yesh Lomar Dechavan Ashlimad B'Laylu Shalom in Beis Ofel." We don't mean not night. We mean in a dark house. Lo lechavod, not for honor. Rak b'si. So you're doing it privately, but sinah b'ez hatchak, or when it's hard. Right? Meaning night is private and it's not easy. Right? Before electric lights, you're tired. It was a right. It used to be mamish. Right? You needed a candle. Right? He says, if someone does it for honor, etc., right? You're doing it for honor. But he says, if you're doing it right at night, he said, why is it Rina? Why is it Tfila? Or what is he doing? Or why does he say that? Because it's not, he's a tachlit. He said, what is, right? What is, in what sense is it a song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Saying it's not Tfila per se. What is Tfila the epitome of, right? Classically. Connection to God. And he says, what else is a connection to God at the level of tefillah? Pure Torah that nobody knows about when nobody's there. Right? Again, these are all sort of right, very yeah. Right, very rad. It makes a lot of sense. Now.
Well, that's really cool, yeah.
Right?
I just had a thought like about the connection of tefillah and like what learning Lashma and how they sort of, in the same way, kind of connect you to God. Because tefillah is all about sort of like humbling yourself and just like submitting your ego to God, kind of. So, like, when you're learning and, like, you're not approaching it from an ego standpoint, you're probably connecting to that.
Exactly what he's saying, right? It's the purest. You're doing it. No one's watching when it's hard, right? And you're showing I'm connected to God. And therefore, that same sort of intimate connection that's created uniquely, often through tefillah, Mara says, but if you learn at night when it's hard and when nobody knows about it and it's pure, there's an element of tefillah in it. Or the way the Merom Esada says it, and God will listen to your tefillah. But it makes sense. Why would he listen to your tefillah? Right, whatever that means. Because if you humble yourself, you commit yourself when no one else is watching. So God, whatever that means, right? Hashkacha reciprocates, right? That's mida kenegad mida. Again, without getting into the details of hashkacha, there's a certain logic to it. Okay. Now, there is more to it. If you look at number 13, the Rambam puts it as follows. He said, "Bishlosha k'tarim nichter Yisrael keser Torah keser kuna keser malchus." There are three crowns the Jewish people were given: the crown of Torah, the crown of kahuna, and the crown of kingship. So who gets the crown of Torah?
Anyone who learns at night.
Good. So number 14, the Rambam tells you, the Avo Pisha Mitzvah Lomot Bayom of Alayla, Ein Adam Lo Made Rov Chachmasol Balayla. You only learn your real Torah, your main Torah at night. Lefichach Misharata Lizgos Becheser HaTorah Yizar B'Cholei Losav V'lo Ya'abed Afilu Echad Mehen B'Sheinav Achilu Shtiyav Estichav Chayot Zaben El Batam Torah Divrei Chachma. Therefore he says, anyone who wants to get the crown of Torah, do not lose a single night with sleeping, eating, drinking, or talking. Right? Only learn every night for the rest of your life.
No party.
Nothing. No sleeping either. And Amru Chachamim Ein Rina El Shel Torah El Balayla Shnemar Kuma Roni Balayla V'Chol Ozek B'Torah Balayla Chod Shel Chesed Nimshach HaBayom. And he quotes all these Gemaras together. Now again, the pasuk that everybody's quoting is this Gemara. It is this pasuk in Eicha, in number 15. The Kumi Roni Balayla L'Rosh Ashmurot Shivchei Chamayim Libeich Nochach Penei Hashem Si'i Elayich Kapayich Al Nevesh Al Elayich Atufim Barab B'Rosh Kol Chutzot. Okay, now. The truth is the Rambam elsewhere also says notes this connection between tefillah and Talmud Torah, right? In Le'avdo, right?
Not sleep at all. I mean, not to waste.
No, no. Time. Yes. I mean, don't sleep too much.
Sleep.
And don't sleep too much.
Yeah.
Right? And then he says, V'lashon Sifrei, La'avdo zu tfilav, Amru, Gamke, La'avdo zu Talmud. Right? The Rambam notes that in the Midrash, sometimes La'avdo b'cholavavchem means tfilah, and sometimes it means Torah. Right? Now, the other pasuk was the one in Kuflam, Namadalid, right? In Tehillim, which was Shira Malos, Hine Baruch Hu, is Kol Avdei Hashem, Amdun Veis Hashem Balelos. And the Midrash Tehillim there says, Amr B'yochan, Eilu Tamid Chomim Oskim B'Torah B'Layla Mala Ne'ilayim Ki'ilu Oskim Asukim Ba'avuta. Okay, fine. The Rav tries to take this all together, and he tries to build a bit more of a cohesive theory. Right, so far, well, what have we seen? So far, we've basically seen that everyone says, okay, learning it Torah at night is great. Why is it great? Because it's hard, because nobody watches it, right? And therefore, there's an element of it that is tefillah-like, right? It connects you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's an element of it, oh my God. There's an element of it that what? That God will improve your relationship with other people, because that's counterintuitive, right? And again, there's a rational way of saying that. If you're involved in Torah at night, you hope that you won't be grumpy in the morning because you were involved all night in perfection, right? You hope that you'd be a perfected person in the morning. Or God will accept your tefillah because you took an extra step for him, so to speak. So he'll take a step for you. Again, however you want to understand Hashkacha. But the Rav was bothered by these addition of the Rambam, which is, okay, that's very nice, but the Rambam gives you another element, which is not just, it's not just that there's a value to it. He says,
just qualitatively.
Qualitatively, right? It's not just quantitative, qualitative. To the extent that he says, it's the Keter. But it's also the Keter,
yeah.
Right? It's the Keter Torah. If you learn during the day, you get Torah. At night, you get the Keter Torah. So the Rav now takes, right, a Gadic license, but he's analyzing the Gadic, and he says, okay, well, let's see. What is a crown? So he says, well, what is it? Right, there are three crowns here, right? King, Torah, Kahuna. And he says, Ma Mechadesh Musaga Keter. Right? This is the Shiurim Lezevchar Abamari, right? The Rav's Yartzei Drashot for his father every year. So what is a crown? What does a crown add that I didn't know? I gave you my translation afterwards, but you can look at it inside, in the original. It says, said, let's note that in halacha, a crown only comes after a formal anointing, meaning there's a status there, right? This is not, right, keter in chazal is not, oh yeah, it's important, right? There's a status change. Right, he says, Totzah chad meshichav, kiddush hagavra. What is the change? The person is now sanctified. Right? There's a status. Right? I mean, think about it, right? There is. Right? A Kohen Gadol, Begavra, he's machzir a rotzeach, right? Rotzeach b'shogeg, if he dies. Right? A melech. Right, isn't allowed to mochal in his kavod. Right? We have to burn his stuff when he dies, right? We don't want the nene. Right? Someone, the wife of the king, can never remarry, right? Meaning there are certain things that are tied up in the status. The king is a different status. There are different karbonot if they sin. Right? Meaning there's a kiddush agavra. V'aminu l'kohen gadova u'melech mechadesh k'dusha p'nimit mekaret tif'ered u'me'ored atzmut ishit ba'adam. Right? It adds and intensifies the personal kedusha in the person. So he says, presumably, when we talk about Keter Torah, it must be the type of Torah that, in some way, changes the person. Otherwise, what's the comparison to the other two Ketarim? So he says, La'or zanu mevinim hamunach Keter Torah, kecha mishlosha Ketarim shenichtu behem Yisrael. Kvar Keter perusho aliyat agavra hitabtsud ishit. HaTorah mitaheret u'mikadeshet u'me'anika leviyadchein la'adam. He said, the Torah purifies and sanctifies and gives grace to a person. Now he says, "Hine biyachas l'talmud Torah b'layla matzino b'yalkut, v'atakamod layla b'yochan reish lakish b'yochan amar inrina shel Torah el b'layla shenamar kumi roni b'layla reish lakish amar b'yom uva layla shenamar v'agita b'yom uva layla v'nir sharamam saver ki lo nechlo b'yochan reish lakish v'dvar mashlimim hadadit." He said, "Okay, we see this machlokes. The Rambam doesn't think there's a machlokes. They're two sides of the same coin." So now he says, "In what sense hasguliyut shel layla mishtayechet lo lekiyum limud?" He said, "Look. The night is not unique because of the kiyum of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Kiyum l'chovas avoda shebelev al yedei Torah. It's the second element, which is the tefillah element of Torah. E.F. Sharlomar sheyesh no hidur misuyam mitzvah v'agita l'limud b'alayah." He said, "What, you're learning at night is different in terms of limud? He said, I'll prove to you that they're the same. Why? The pasuk says, learn it vagisa bayom v'alayla, right? Vagisa bayom v'alayla. Meaning, limud itself, the intellectual component, is equivalent. V'ashve chovat limud ayom chovat alayla. Limud alayla. Ula. Biyachad lechalos limud b'torah avodas shebelev al pi halacha lo'avdo ve'u b'toraso. But that which the Midrash says, that Torah is itself a form of tefillah, right, of avodah shebelev, nechloku ha'onot, times are different. He says, Laila adifa miyom, the night's better. Haskula belimud laila, mirkezet bekim avodah delev al yid talmud Torah, kumironi v'layla rina shal Torah, zu avidah shebelev, uv'layla shira imi tefillah lekel chayai. Rak la'ashvir inyan keser Torah, he said, once you do that, then you understand why that's the only thing that gives you the crown. Night has a unique connection to God. And he goes on. Right, so the Rav takes Chazal at their word and he says, what is this connection, right, over and over, that it is different in terms of?
It's a tefillah aspect.
It's a tefillah aspect. Now, why is it a tefillah aspect? We already started talking about it. What sense is Talmud Torah at night tefillah? So he said, first of all, it's, right, I mean, tefillah at its core is about connecting to God, and night is unique to connection to God. Why? Tell me why. So we've given two so far. One is that it's harder. Second is that it's private.
Right, yeah.
Right? What else? There's another, why else?
You're more like a scary time for people.
What?
More like a scary time.
So it's scary, right? We saw that already in the, right, in the Meshech Chachma, right? It's a scary time.
We're relying on time also. Can't see anything, you can't.
Good, what else?
And you're more like, I guess, separated from the rest of the world.
Yeah, right? Now that means practically and fundamentally, meaning no one else is up, right? I mean, you're alone, right? Meaning, at the core, what is unique about tefillah that's not usually true of Torah? That it's an individual experience, right? Normally, Talmud Torah is a chevra experience, but Talmud Torah at night is very rarely, right, that type of experience. It's the type of Talmud Torah that connects you to God alone. Right, purely, not as part of a, right, chevra. Now, as I noted, right, this notion that night is unique in this sense is found, I gave you like several examples from other literature, right, not from Torah. So I gave you, for example, from the Ladder of St. Augustine, which is a poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Yes, this is when you know I'm a gush guy, right? When you say this, okay, fine. The heights by great men reached and kept were not attained by
such. Is noted not in.
What?
What was the thing that's noted? Noted by.
Oh, so you'll see, right? Each of them are going to focus on different elements. What is unique about night? But you're going to see this notion that there's multiple things that are unique about night. Right, Chazal are tapping into something that any person involved in any sort of attempt at Chachma, right, recognize this. So you look at the Ladder of St. Augustine by Longfellow. He said, the heights by great men reached and kept were not attained by sudden flight. But they, while their companions slept, were toiling upward in the night. They said, great people. What, right, number one, what makes you greater? Right, if you want to think, what makes you a Keter Torah? What gives you a Keter? Makes you really the owner of Torah? So element one is, you're doing no one else is. Right? Meaning you want to be great at something, first thing is, you got to be willing to put in time what nobody else puts in time. Right? In Paradise Lost by John Milton, in number 20, he writes, their merry wakes and pastimes keep, what hath night to do with sleep? Night hath better sweets to prove, Venus now wake and wakens love. Right? What does he say? Right? For a great person, what does a great person have to say? What hath night to do with sleep? Right? Meaning, you want to be great.
I'm not sure if he's talking about, like, engaging in Chachma, though.
So he actually is, right? In Paradise Lost, he is, right? He's talking about, it's Christianity, right? The sweets to prove is not sexuality in this case, no. It's not.
And, like, Venus now wakes and wakens a lot.
I mean, yes, also. But anyways.
Okay.
But, now, Kafka writes about this as well, and I gave him 21. Right? Kafka was asked by his niece.
What is there merry wakes in pastimes?
Right. You think I know every? I'm holding. I have to quote Milton because Ruchem Tino, Milton. I have not read all of it. It's Chataiani Maskir Hayam. But I like that line anyway. That what hath night to do with sleep? Right. Meaning there are things to do. Right. Important things to do. Okay. Now Kafka in 21 was asked by his niece to watch him write, and he said no. Said you once said that you would like to sit beside me while I write. Listen, in that case I could not write at all. For writing means revealing oneself to excess, that utmost of self-revelation and surrender, in which a human being, when involved with others, would feel he was losing himself, and from which, therefore, he will always shrink as long as he is in his right mind. For everyone wants to live as long as he is alive. Even the degree of self-revelation and surrender is not enough for writing. Writing that springs from the surface of existence when there is no other way and deeper wells have dried up is nothing, and collapses the moment a truer emotion makes the surface shake. That is why one can never be alone enough when one writes. Why there can never be enough silence around one when one writes. Why even night is not night enough. Right?
That's what is a beautiful quote.
Isn't it? Absolutely awesome. So what does Kafka say? But what does Kafka say? What's unique about night? And again, I think this sheds light on what Chazal are getting at. That you are alone, and therefore, what does being alone allow you to do?
You can give your own thoughts without any worry.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's not just... Right, Longfellow said, "What's unique about night? That no one else is doing it. You went the extra mile." But honestly, I think Kafka has a better idea of what Chazal are getting at, which is, "What's unique about night? You're alone with yourself.
And you're like vulnerable. You tap into your vulnerability.
Yeah, you tap into yourself.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, normally when you're involved in Torah, there's a level of Talmud Torah that is sharpened, right? Bepilpul with chaverim." Right, but the element of Talmud Torah where you reveal not just the sugya, but you reveal who you are, right? Which is at some level what happens in Talmud Torah, right? You tap into Dvar Hashem in a way that you do uniquely. That happens when when you're alone. And he says, "Night is not night enough. Night is not night enough," right? Because if someone else is there at some level, it's not just about commitment. It's that at some level, right? And again, I think this is what Chazal are getting at. That the Talmud Torah at night is more than just Talmud Torah. In what sense is it tefillah? Right? I've had this experience. Right? If I'm writing late into the night, everyone else in my house is asleep. Right? That's when the Talmud Torah... It's not just there's no distractions. It's that the Torah at that point is mine. I can't ask anybody for help. Right? I'm forced, right? You get in the zone and you're forced to rely only on yourself, only on what you think, right? And you get embroiled, right? You just get engrossed in Dvar Hashem, right? And your connection to Dvar Hashem, and there's an element of it of tefillah, right? It's not, what is it? It's, we use this in English, right? It's my, right? This is my, right, tribute to you, right? You know, like people dedicate books to the ones they love, right? Think about it. What Talmud Torah that pours from the, from the innermost essence, when no one's around, right? It's dead silent. That's the type of Torah that, in addition to being limud, is also fundamentally introspection, right? You learn about yourself. You go into your core, right? I think that's part of what Chazal are getting at when they say the Talmud Torah at night is tefillah, right? Because it's not just intellectual, it's also experiential, it's emotional, right? When you get caught up in Torah and no one's around, right? So, yes, look, Chavrusa learning is a great way of connecting to other people, right? But learning by yourself in dead silence is a great way of...
learning with yourself.
Yeah, be connecting to yourself and connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? With connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just because... And think about it, right? This is something that, right, many people talk about, but in many levels, right, Talmud Torah, right, normally they're opposites. Tefillah is when you talk to God, and Talmud Torah is when God talks to you, right? But obviously, because they're opposites, they also have something in common. Right? I mean, that notion that God talks to you.
I love this quote.
Right? And again, I think that's part of what's going on. Now, I gave you in 22, from an excellent book by Susan Cain called Quiet, she notes that techies have this as well. Right? So Stephen Wozniak, you know what Stephen Wozniak is?
All creators, Apple. I'm sure, have this.
What?
Apple.
Right. Wozniak was the other brains, but the non-business brains behind Apple. Right, the person who invented the first laptop, right, along with Steve Jobs. So he says Wozniak did most of it. By the way, his autobiography is awesome. Just saying, it's an awesome book. Totally worth it. Wozniak did most of the work inside his cubicle at Hewlett Packard. He would arrive around 6 a.m. and alone in the early morning, read engineering magazines, study chip manuals, prepare designs in his head. After work, he'd go home, make a quick spaghetti or TV dinner, then drive back to the office and work late into the night. He described this period of quiet midnights and solitary sunrises as the biggest high ever. His efforts paid off on the night of June 29th, 1975, at around 10 p.m., when Woz finished building a prototype of his machine. He hit a few keys on the keyboard, and letters appeared on the screen in front of him. It was the sort of breakthrough moment that most of us can only dream of, and he was alone when it happened. Intentionally so. In his memoir, again, worth reading, he offers this advice to kids who aspire to great creativity. Most inventors and engineers I've met are like me. They're shy and they live in their heads. They're almost like artists. In fact, the very best of them are artists. And artists work best alone, where they can control an invention's design without a lot of other people designing it for marketing or some other committee. I don't believe anything really revolutionary has been invented by committee. If you're that rare engineer who's an inventor and also an artist, I'm going to give you some advice that might be hard to take. That advice is work alone. You're going to be best able to design revolutionary products and features if you work on your own. Not in a committee, not on a team. Right? And what does Wozniak say? At some level, right? It's poetic, right? What happens at night? What's his vort? What is he arguing tonight? Invention. Right? It's not just Limud, but it's paradigm shifts. Right? It's the best breakthroughs happen when creative people are left to their creativity.
And
right?
discover themselves.
And again, I think that's part of what it means when Chazal say, the Torah, right? Torah is only for a night. If you're up at night, you're not learning, right? Mischayev b'nafsho, right? That it's tefillah. Why? Because at night, when no one else is around, a lot can be accomplished in committee. But real breakthroughs come from paradigm shifts, from within, right, the creative soul of creative people. Right, that's when it happens. And that happens at night, when no one's there, when you're just with yourself. And at some level, right, again, it's not tefillah in the sense that you're davening to God, but it's tefillah in the sense that it's avodah shebelev. And also, it's in the sense that what? Right, what is song? Right, song, you know, even if you're not a music person, what's true of song? There's a word that people will use for it, which I think is right here. Transcendent. Right? There's something about creativity, right, that is beyond the sum of its parts. Yeah. Right? And that type of Torah happens at night when you're alone, when there's a breakthrough moment. That happens in secret, that in silence, in just you and God. You, your mind, and God. Right? And that's what the Rav is saying from the Rambam. That's when you get the Keter Torah. You're not just a lomade. Right, but when you're able to be alone with yourself, be creative, make breakthroughs, right? That's the tefillah that gives you the keter tar. That's when you become a bala masera. You become connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that regular lima doesn't do. Susan Cain, in another piece, notes in 23 that when I was a child at summer camp, I noticed a strange pattern. I was horribly homesick first thing in the morning, often waking up with a stomach ache. But as the day wore on, the homesickness faded. By nighttime, I was carefree and having a grand time. Each night, I was sure I'd wake up the next morning feeling just as strong. But the homesickness always came back. Back then, I couldn't explain the pattern, but now I can. Cortisol. Cortisol is a stress hormone, and it peaks in the morning and suddenly dissipates throughout the day. For some of us, these peaks and falls are especially pronounced. So while you probably think most clearly first thing in the morning, you may be least inhibited at night. I've noticed that interesting turns of phrase and associative leaps come much more easily in the evening hours. Indeed, creativity researchers believe that a relaxed brain, a brain that is not in the grips of anxiety or blocked by other psychological barriers, is a more creative brain. Right? So Susan Cain notes that scientifically it's also true. Because at some level, right, you're more relaxed, you're uninhibited, you let yourself free, you let yourself be creative. And think about it, your most creative moments, you can't plan. You need to let them happen. And when does that usually happen? At night, when you're tired, right? When the stress of the day has sort of dissipated and you're creative and a little bit tired and a little bit in la la land, right? That's when that creativity jumps, and that's really where it comes from. Now, the Rav talks about more, right? I gave you a summary from Krumbine 24 that he writes about Torah at night is a kiyum of Ol Malchus Shamayim. Now, he notes that this is what, when the Midrash says that David HaMelech Davin, that his tefillah should be accepted, that his Talmud Torah should be accepted like tefillah, right? This is what explains it, right? He saw that connection, right? Sorry, other way around, that his Tehillim should be like Talmud Torah, right? The Midrash says that he tried to flip it, right? That Tehillim should be like a Kiyum of Talmud Torah. Because once you recognize at some level they start to, right, overlap, it sort of makes sense. But I gave you a bit of a summary of the Rav. Okay, I think we got to stop here. What we'll do next week before we continue into something else is that there is the flip side to it, and that's what I gave you in the second half, is that there is, as much as it's valuable to learn in light, right, you can't, as one of my rebbeim said, I'll repeat this next week, you can't sacrifice Talmud Torah on the Mizbeach of Hasmada, right? There is a balance to that, but we'll look at it a bit next week.